Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing. This message is by Andrew Boyd.
A number of thoughts that arose before I get into the message today. There is a difference between acceptable and accepted. And whatever you may think of yourself from time to time, and whatever you may think of others from time to time, you are accepted. You are accepted. I felt the Lord say, when I look at you, I don't disdain you. I look at Jesus. And when you look at your brothers and sisters, see them in the same way. See them in Jesus and accepted by Jesus. There is a difference between accepted and acceptable. And you are accepted. Praise God. I felt the Lord say, I see my beloved sons, my beloved daughters, in whom I am well pleased, because I see you in Jesus. I don't look at your shortcomings. I don't even notice them. I see you in Jesus. When a son or a daughter is adopted, how could they ever live up to their family name? And yet, that name is given to you. Whether you live up to it or not, that name is given freely to you. From the moment that son or that daughter is adopted, they are a son and a daughter with a new name. And that is how the Father sees them. And that is how the Father sees you. So you are welcome in this place. You are welcome here today. Adopted and renamed, accepted and loved. Amen.
Amen.
So we have a series which is very exciting. It's on the names of God. And my prayer for you today, and I've been praying for you, is that the Lord, only God can do this, that He will give you today a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That the veil on your eyes and your heart will just be opened so that you may know Him and see Him more clearly. And the aim today on speaking on Abba, Father, is to draw us into a greater intimacy with our Father in heaven and into a closer walk with Him. That's the aim. That's where we're going today. That's the point of this today. So we're going to create space for the Holy Spirit, a little bit different, to engage with each of us. There's going to be some focused worship. I'm just setting out the route map. This is where we're going today, okay? It's going to be scriptures, some teaching, and a call to personal engagement. And that's going to involve, it might involve, the call will certainly involve forgiveness. And to commit ourselves to know God as Father and to walk in His ways. But I'd like to start by playing you a track that you may not know. It's called Abba. This version has lyrics on it. Just stay seated and just soak in the sense of who God is as Abba, which just is Hebrew for Father. It has an interesting meaning, which we'll unpack later, but it's just calling Him Daddy, Father. You know, the relationship we have with our earthly fathers, for good or for ill, can limit our understanding of God as Father. I believe the Lord wants to touch that in some of us today who may have had strained relationships with our dads. God's going to help us with that and draw us into a deeper intimacy with Him. So Abba, it's a Hebrew word, and it means daddy, it means father, but the sense that it carries is rather different than the words that we use for daddy or father. It carries with it a sense of intimacy. Just think back to when you were a child holding your dad's hand. And maybe not everybody had a dad. Or parents' hand. Just think back to that. That time when you were small and safe and held. Intimacy. It's an intimacy. But it's more than that. The sense in the Hebrew also carries with it an extraordinary authority. It's a sense of strength, power, authority, and yet intimacy. Can you imagine cuddling up with a lion? Outside of the Narnia Chronicles, perhaps not. But it's that sense. This is powerful and yet incredibly loving, incredibly supportive, and you are completely secure and safe in the presence of such great power, because that power, the one who is powerful, loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He would do nothing to harm you. We've got two little rescue cats, and I try to train them. They're trying to train us, and we're trying to train them. And one of them just wants food every minute of the day. But she's very sweet. They're both female. They're sisters. They look completely different. And she is completely trusting. And the other one, when we picked her up, we don't know what happened to rescue cats, right? But she slunk away if you put your hand towards her. And she's still inclined to put her head down, doesn't want to be touched, and yet she does, because she raises her back to be stroked, and she just loves being cuddled. But somewhere in there is a fear. Somebody somewhere has raised their hand, probably against this cat, and it's put something inside of her which is fearful. But with Abba, this father, who is far more powerful than a lion, would never raise his hand against you. You can trust him. Despite the teeth and the claws and the strength, you can trust him. So we see intimacy, authority, and what goes along with that, our response to that is reverence and obedience and a delight to be with him. It's all of that mixed together. It's quite extraordinary. We can't really look to our earthly fathers to get this. How do we see this outworked if we have an understanding of what it is, a revelation it needs to know that he is Abba? How do we see it outworked? Well, in our lives, we'll seek God's guidance for every major decision. We will maintain humility because he is very powerful and we are not. He is all-knowing and we are not. And towards others, because we've been accepted in such an amazing way by such a great and mighty powerful Father who doesn't say, well, you're not acceptable, but you're accepted. He says, Andy, you're accepted. You're accepted. I see you in Jesus, and the rest I just don't notice. He doesn't notice. That's how we outwork it to one another. You know, there are many things about each of us which is frankly unacceptable. But we are accepted. And that's how we must be towards one another, accepting. So we model this picture of Abba by outworking that in our relationships towards others by nurturing loving relationships modeled on compassion and on respect. And we see it, we see this relationship illustrated by Jesus, his relationship with his Father. We see the intimacy. He took himself away to pray and to seek his face. He was obedient even to death. He didn't always understand. At Gethsemane, he lost sight of that for a moment. Just for a moment. And on the cross, possibly, he lost sight of that just for a moment. That's not sin. That's just everything else crowding in. But in all of it, he knew the intimate love of his Father in heaven. So we see this outworked in the life of Jesus. Can you think of examples in Jesus' life where that Abba relationship was outworked? Anything come to mind? Oh, yeah. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, good one, Andy. Good one. Any others?
When he says, let the children come to me. I've not thought about this before.
Okay.
The father says to children, and so for Jesus to let those children, that's like a reflection, isn't it, of that?
Yeah.
Physical children.
Yes, yes. I mean, he loved and enjoyed the little children. And he was only cross with those who wanted to stop the children coming to him. That's interesting, Kai.
In Gethsemane?
Gethsemane. Can you expand on that, Vicky?
He's talking to his father. It's an intimate relationship.
Yeah.
He knows what is ahead of him. And
yeah.
Overwhelming for him.
Yeah.
And, but he says, not my will, but yours. So it's a submission and a love for the father. Enables him to go to the cross.
Yeah.
Well, that was just one time that Jesus was disconnected from the Father. And that's when he died on the cross. Up until then, he'd never been, he'd known what it is to be separated.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, so that was a disconnect. That's a disconnect where everyone is. Until they receive Christ, really.
Father, why have you forsaken me? Abba, intimate, loving, all-powerful God, why have you forsaken me? That's what he said. Yeah, thank you. So for us, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal Abba to us. We can't get it any other way. We're not really going to get it by looking at our earthly fathers, although we can get some of it, a little of that. And as parents, we can give a little of that to our children. We do our best, right? But our application to it is to respond to the love of God by setting ourselves, as Jesus did, to walk in our Father's ways, to walk in intimacy with our Father in heaven, a heartfelt intimacy, and in steadfast obedience, even though it can be tough. In every area of life. So some scriptures. I'm going to start with Romans 8, 14 to 17. We're not going to put them up on the screen because I'd like to read them to you, but please, if you want, look it up. Romans 8, 14 to 17. My version is the NIV. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship. And by Him, the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're His children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and heirs of Christ, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed, we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We are not exempt from suffering in this world. God's promise, and Andrea read it earlier, is that he will go with us when? We're not exempt from it. But actually, if we respond rightly to it, God does amazing things in and through our lives. When God shares with you the bread of affliction, he gives you enough bread to share with others who are going through the same thing. Because what you've gone through can then encourage them. Anyway, that's not really the point. The point is adoption in all of this. And the point is that Paul here in writing this is using this word Abba, Father, because Paul has a very clear point in mind. He makes it again in Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 4 to 7 says this, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you could never attain it, right? Because we cannot keep that law. So we can never make ourselves acceptable by doing the right thing. So God has to say, you are accepted. Because Jesus did the right thing for you. And the Lord sees you in Christ. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave. Amen. And we were playing that song earlier when we were praying before the meeting began. We're no longer a slave, but we're God's child. And since you're also his child, God has made you also an heir. Now, these scriptures are a little bit strange to us because Paul is thinking about adoption under the Roman system at that time. And for us to understand what it means to be adopted as God's sons and daughters, we really need to see through the lens of what it was to be adopted under Roman law, which is what Paul is referring to. Now, children under Roman law were considered to be the property of their fathers. So Zander, under Roman law, he owns you. Okay? Don't you forget it, mate. You own him, and everything that belongs to him is yours under Roman law. We're not under Roman law. It's okay. But this is Paul is using Roman law to show us what adoption is like. Okay, so you belong wholly to him. Everything you do, everything you own, everything you earn belongs to him. And when it comes to a wife, Zander, he makes the choice, not you. Okay, so the choice of your bride is to keep in with this man. Don't fall out with him now. The choice of your bride is down to Dad, Abba. And if you really, really are a total pain in the neck, Zander, he has the right to sell you. To sell you. Yeah? Watch your step. This is what Paul is talking about. Okay, this is what's in Paul's mind. It wouldn't be in ours, but it's in Paul's because he's thinking of the Roman system. Now, where's the good news in this? Because there's a lot of good news in it. If a child is adopted into the family, then all connection with the birth family is severed. There's a change of name. There's a change of birthright. All of the control that that old family had on the child, it's that level of control we're talking about, that's gone. Gone. All of the influence that that family had on that child, for good or for ill, is gone. It's severed. It's a clean, clean slate. You getting this? You're getting it. I can tell. That past family no longer determines the destiny and identity of the child in any form or sense, because you've got a new name and you belong to Abba. your Father. All debts were cancelled. All of them. Every debt was cancelled. Finished. The Father now takes responsibility for all the child's actions. Now here's a bit of a challenge for the dad, because the adopted son may not be able to live up to the name of the family, right? They're just welcome. They're new. They've come in. They're welcomed in. It all belongs to them. They are become co-heirs of yours. Everything that you have will pass to them. But actually, at this stage, they may not live up to your name. They may not be acceptable, but they are accepted. You with me? Whatever he does now, think of the story of the prodigal son, that song referred to it. Goes off, parties with prostitutes, sells the lot, eats pig swill, which for a Jewish kid is not clever, and says, I've got to go home. Maybe my dad will forgive me. And his dad sees him coming and runs down the road after him. Dad didn't run, but this dad runs. And he gives him his robe, the mantle of his authority, and his signet ring. He restores to him, and everything is restored to this son. It's just absolutely beautiful. So we have been adopted, and it's not on the basis of you being acceptable. It's on the basis of you being accepted. We got it.
Yes.
We got it. Wow. Wow. All debts cancelled. All influence from the past gone. All control of the past gone. A new name, a new identity, a new destiny, a new hope, a new purpose, and an inheritance to come. Wow. Wow. Abba. Father. It's what Paul's talking about. They would have got it. But we need to look back at that to understand it and see it in that way. The adopted child becomes a full son and heir. And the Holy Spirit, because God has adopted you and made you his son and his daughter, it's the Holy Spirit who brings the revelation of Abba to your heart. Only God can do this. So Holy Spirit, please do it today. We cry, Abba, Father. And we see the Abba relationship outworked by Jesus. And in a very practical way, Jesus explains it to his disciples. So this then is how you should pray. Abba, Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are honored, you are loved, you are revered and you are respected, but you're also my daddy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, you are, each of us, just made of the dust of the earth. God breathed dust. So when you pray the Lord's Prayer, let your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Start with me, Lord. And where my feet touch this ground, where my feet are on this earth, may your will be done, Abba, Father, in this earth and on this earth, through me, as it is in heaven. Just let it be just as intimate and as close as that. Beautiful. And then the other parts of the Lord's Prayer are about praying. And it's always about us. It's not about me. Give me today my daily bread. No, it's give us. What do you need today? I should be praying for you, not just for me. Yeah? And as the Lord puts people on your heart to pray for, because of your Abba relationship with the Father, he pours out his love through you to others. And so you pray for them and you intercede for them. And you carry in your heart the concerns that are on their hearts. Yeah? Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, debts, sins, however you want to translate it. And forgiveness is crucial to this. We've been forgiven. You're accepted. So you can't look at another person and say, you're unacceptable. Got it?
Got it.
You can't. You can't. Okay? And when he finishes the Lord's Prayer, straight away in the next two verses, he goes on to make it really clear. What he says next is this. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. You see, how can you enjoy the mercy of God, which paves the way for the grace of God, unless you give away mercy and grace to other people? How could it ever just stop with me? The nature of love is that it's given through us, not just for us. God loves through us. He doesn't just love you. He loves the one you're looking at. So forgiveness is really crucial. So here's a bit of a challenge. The failings of our earthly fathers can rob us of our relationship with God. Because the limitations of our dads, it's true of mums as well, but there seems to be something. A lot of people have daddy issues. And what we see in our dad models in the back of our mind what we think God is like. Was your dad distant? Was he judgmental? Was he stern? Did you know his love? Did you ever doubt his love? Because it's possible. If our dads are, our dads all fall short because we all fall short, right? I'm a dad, I fall short. I don't doubt it. I know it.
No, I had unconditional love for my dad.
Did you, Fred?
Unconditional love. That was his. That's a good place to be.
That's lovely. That's lovely, Fred. That's lovely. Now, I know when I talk about our earthly dads, I may be jangling some nerves here. Okay, because we've all got different experiences. I struggled with my father. And the Lord's had to do a work in me, which he has done. And that work began it began quite early on when the Lord told me that I needed to forgive my father. But beyond that, he said to me, and you need to ask his forgiveness. And I thought, what for? What have I done? You're a kid, right? You don't get it. You get older and you get it. But I had to ask my father's forgiveness. I was about 14. I don't think Dad quite understood what I was on about. I'm not even sure I really understood it, but I knew God was asking me to do it. And the Lord showed me the importance of Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your life may be long in the land in which you live. There is a connection between dishonoring our parents and the length of our lives. God's making that point, not me. But he made that point to me. Because as a child, I had two nervous breakdowns when I was a kid, and I was haunted for years by thoughts of suicide. When I made the decision to honor my father, even though my father was not always honorable, something broke in me. I'm 68, 69 this week. Thank you, Jesus. I never thought I'd live beyond my 40s. I don't know why. but something broke in me because I no longer gave the enemy room to attack my life because of my attitude towards my father. It didn't make our relationship any sweeter, but it settled a debt, and it settled something in my heart. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. And there was a sense that I carried as a kid that there was a debt that my father owed me. You see, partially right, I'm older now. But I forgave that. It didn't make it sweeter or easier, but it broke an attack of the enemy on my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you think about your dad, don't just ask yourself, is he acceptable? Ask yourself, do I accept him? Do I accept him despite? Is he, was he, my father despite? Can you hear what I think the Lord is saying? Because I think he raised this today. Okay? And I know that that's an ouch, and it can be. Dads can do dreadful things. And then I asked the Lord, well, Father, please help me. My dad has now died. Please help me to remember my... We're all a mixture. We're all a mixture. And although I struggled with my dad in ways that I don't want to talk about, he wasn't all bad. There was a loving side to him. And I remembered, and I asked the Lord, please help me, Father, my Abba, my Father in heaven, to remember my father in a different way. And the first thing that came back to mind was my dad worked in a garage. He was a motor fitter. He loved cars. And when I was a little kid, and my relationship with him was good then, he would bring me a little matchbox car. Do you remember the matchbox cars and the little yellow boxes? Yeah? And it would be under my pillow. So when I went to bed, I'd reach my hand under the pillow and there was this matchbox car in this little yellow box. And that was an absolute joy. And I remember that. God help me to remember that. So something changed. My point really is this. The limitations of our earthly fathers will put a blinkers on our eyes about how we see our God in heaven. So we must forgive our fathers, whatever they've done, and even if they don't stop doing it. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It just means we have to choose to write off the debt because God has written off our debts. And anyway, I tell you, it's possible to do it because my surname might be Boyd, but my Father in heaven has adopted me and given me his name. Amen. And all of the control and the influence of the past is broken. Amen. So I am now free. I'm not a slave to the things that have been put on me. I am a son of my Father in heaven, forgiven, shown mercy to, having received grace, and I must be merciful in turn to those who are in my debt. Yeah. It's wonderful. Simply wonderful. So, if that has resonated with you at all, just bring it to the Lord in the week. Because actually, it's one of the really big issues. It can be one of the really big issues in our lives. What happened between us and our dads or mothers? And there's no quick fix to this. But if the Lord has said something to you this morning about it, just take it to him. Say, God, help me. How do I do this? What do I do? What do I need to do? Just tell him how you feel. Even if you think, Father, I cannot forgive him for what he did. How can I forgive him for that? Even if that's how you feel, take it to God in heaven. Tell him how you feel. Just don't hide away with that. Don't bury that alive. But let God see it. Let him shine his light on it. And just say, God, help me. Walk me through this. Show me what to do next. Help me with this. So let's move on, because that wasn't the main theme. The main theme. The main theme is Abba Father. Not our dads on earth, but our dad in heaven. So let's just pray for a bit. Let's just shut our eyes and pray. And ask to receive a fresh revelation of God as our Abba Father. I just encourage you, just quietly, to call out to him. You may never have said that to him before. Why would you use a Hebrew word? But just say, Abba, Daddy, beloved Father, mighty God, all powerful, blend that intimacy with that honor and respect. And just ask him to rub that into your heart, the sense that he is your Abba, your Father. Give him permission to do it. Give him permission. When we say no to God, we close doors, and sometimes things that have happened to us, like our rescue cat who slinks away from my hand, something happened to her. We'll win her back. If something happened to you, there might have been a saying, no, too good to be true. I can't believe God is like that. God is stern. God is harsh. I'm not acceptable. You are accepted. You are accepted. Just talk to him quietly. Come to a deeper place of trust, because he is a good, good Father. God is good. That's who he is. All the time. God is love. It's not what he does. It's who he is. And he loves you. Next time you look at yourself in the mirror, just say, I am accepted and loved. Next time a brother or sister offends you, remind yourself that they are accepted and loved. And what Jesus modeled was an intimacy of relationship with his Father in heaven and a complete obedience. I only do what I see my Father doing. Refusal to be distracted. A refusal to do anything in his own strength. but a complete yielding to do what his father told him. He became a son doing his father's business. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, the father said at his baptism. And in Christ, he says the same of you and calls you to the same, to do God's work on earth as it is in heaven. Your calling is the same. Can we trust Abba and commit ourselves to walk more closely with him, to listen more carefully to him, to walk out and live out what he tells us to do? Can we trust this one, whatever our dads were like? Can we trust Abba Father enough to walk in obedience to him? Paul writes, and we read it earlier, keep in step with the Spirit. That's all God asks for you. That's it. That's the Christian life. It's the Christian walk. Stay close to God your Father and keep in step. That's it. That's it. You're accepted. You're accepted. You know, there are times when God seems distant. And you think, where are you, Lord? Sometimes I think that's because God is actually saying, come and follow me, seek me out, find me. If God has been quiet, if God has been distant, it's not because he's mad at you. You are accepted. He just wants you to follow him. And the best example I can give of that is of a parent teaching a child to walk. Okay? Imagine, do you remember? You remember when you learned to walk? I'm not sure I can. I can remember teaching my children to walk and ride a bike. So, one parent is with the child. The child's a babe in arms, right? What the babe in arms wants is to be cuddled, is to be held, is to be carried. They don't want to do anything. They just want to be with you. But the time comes when one parent has to put the child down on its feet. And the other one, see, I'm two parents now. That one's put the child down on its feet and the other one is going, come on then. Hey, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. Yeah, let go now. It's okay, let go. Let go. Okay. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you can do that. Yeah, come on. You. Yes. Got you. Got you. So why does God back away? Because he wants to draw us after him. God is good all the time. When God is silent, it's not because he's mad at you, but he wants you to seek his face. And he draws us after him. Huh. So let's just finish by playing another version of that song, Abba, without the lyrics, but you got the hang of it, that's shorter. And just worship him. Just let him show you that he is your father, your daddy in heaven. What the Lord is always seeking to do is to draw each of us into a closer, deeper intimacy with him. So that is our prayer and the cry of our hearts. Lord, I belong to you. including those places, the basement of my life, where the slightly broken, sometimes very broken stuff is stored in the damp and the dank and the dark. He wants to shed light on it, but he can only do it as we say, Father, I belong to you. And we can only come to him on the basis of his total acceptance of us. We will never be acceptable, but we are wholly accepted. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's absolutely beautiful, the grace of God and the mercy of God in our lives.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.